San Francisco Bay Area. It's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Here's Joey.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. Today we've got a real great show. I have joining me all the way from Utah, Ancestry.com. So, you know, if you've ever wondered about your heritage, your family tree, your bloodlines, if you were intrigued years ago by the movie Roots and going back to your possible beginnings, and an interest in ancestral DNA, you will want to make sure you listen in today and on the show. You know, and you want to make sure that you go and have this test done, because now the pricing is really affordable for a lot of people. So I want to really encourage you to do that. We will give you the website to go to. We'll give you all that information. But I want to tell you who I've got joining me. I've got Anna Swain, who is a spokesperson with Ancestry.com, Matthew Dighton with Ancestry.com. So without further ado, I want to introduce to you Anna and Matthew. Are you folks there? Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. You know, this is an exciting thing. I started to do DNA testing. Well, I had the test done on myself years ago. I started about 6 or 7 years ago. Found it really fascinating. I ran it through different companies because I wanted to see if there was a similar pattern. And back then, it was a lot more expensive than it is now. So I know you folks make it really affordable for people, which is really awesome. And I think that that's really kind of it. And, you know, the other thing that I found really interesting was after having it done the first time, I was like, okay, this is not what I expected. There were elements in there that were kind of shocking to me. And so then I thought, well, you know what, I don't necessarily believe this, and I'm going to have it redone. And then I had it redone, and again, the same thing happened, and the same thing happened. And, you know, interesting, when I did yours less than a year ago, I had mine done through you folks. You know, there was some similar things. There were a couple things that were missing, so I want to talk to you guys about that today. And so what we're going to do, how I'm going to lay this out, is I've got a few questions for you. Then I've got I've got two callers that have a couple of questions for you guys as well. So we're going to be cognizant of time. You know, we want to make sure that we're able to get all this in. And then we're going to go over my my results, and then another result that we did, another test that we did, and get those results as well. And I think that's pretty much it. And we'll let people know how that they can go in and make sure that they get their test kit and get on board. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay. So are you folks ready for – I'm going to ask you a series of questions that were sent to me by different people. A couple of people wanted to remain anonymous, and then that's fine. So you ready? And then we're going to bring in I've got an author by the name of Patricia Ruiz Steele from Arizona. She's going to be online, and she's got a question. And then we've got another gentleman by the name of Carson Rutherford that lives in Arizona as well, and he's got a question for you too. So does that sound good?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get started.
Okay, here we go. All right, so one of the questions that was posed to me was, are you owned by the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons? And if so, are you going to baptize and proxy the names that I give you of my deceased loved ones? And this was from an anonymous person in Northern California.
Okay, so no. The answer is no, we are not owned by that organization. We do partnerships with them occasionally, but we aren't owned by them.
So people don't need to be worried about having their their deceased loved ones being being baptized in proxy,
no.
Right?
No, no, absolutely not. And one of the great things about Ancestors, you actually can keep anything you want private, private. So there's different tree settings you can do. So when you go on, you can start building a tree for free, and then you can get a membership to start accessing our 14 billion records. And you know, privacy is huge for us. I mean, that's our bread and butter, right? You're putting up information about your parents and your family, and it's all up to you how private you want to keep it. So anyone that's living is automatically going to remain private on your tree. But then above and beyond that, you can actually make your tree completely private and unindexed. No one can ever find it. And then that way you can put up anything that you want. So, yeah, no, there's, like I said, like Anna said, we do partner with the LDS Church sometimes, but, yeah, we're not owned or anything like that with them.
Okay. My second question is, how accurate, and this is from Kane in New York, how accurate are your findings? Is there room for error?
Are we talking about the DNA results specifically?
Yes, we're talking about the DNA results.
So, you know, that's a really great question. All the results that we give are based on research today. So, you know, for example, your ethnicity results, we'll get into that a little bit more probably, but the ethnicity results and the matching is all based on current research today, what we know today, and that's been published and so forth. By our, you know, our science team, and there is, you know, a slight chance for, you know, a slight margin for error, and, you know, that's with any great scientific study and so forth, there is always that slight margin, but the great thing is, with additional research, your results will be updated and sort of reconfigured based on additional research that we find.
I think one of the great examples of that is West Africa. At one point we said, you know, we can show you how much West Africa you have, and now we've actually been able to break that out even more with advancements in science to show specific regions in Africa, and we're one of the first companies to be able to do that. And so now you can actually show the different countries in Africa that you're from or different regions. And so to be able to drill down even more as the science gets better is something that we'll continue to do as we have more samples in the database, as our algorithms get a little bit better and the math behind it honestly gets a little bit better, we'll be able to have even more precise results for you.
Okay, that's great. Now, this next question actually happened to me with your test. We're going to be talking about my results, but this one says, I have Native American ancestry. It did not show, not even Asian. Why is that? And that's from TJ in Texas.
Well, that's a great question. You know, the DNA that you've inherited that we test is very unique to you and the random inheritance that you got from your two parents, your four grandparents, your eight great-grandparents, your 16 great-greats, and so on. And so even if a certain particular ethnic group doesn't show up in you, doesn't mean that you didn't have those ancestors that lived in a certain area. It just means that you didn't inherit that specific region. And so getting additional family members tested will kind of open up that question. For example, I was tested and I had three sisters tested, and they all received West Europe as one of their regions, but I didn't get any of it. So, you know, I don't know.
That?
It's just one of those random things. Because of the inheritance, we can't predict what you'll get.
And, you know, I think I would probably like to interject something else, although I'm not I am not all-knowing as far as DNA. But here is another thing that could possibly happen in something like that, is where people hear from their family, from their grandparents, from their great-grandparents, from who knows who, cousins, aunts and uncles, oh, you know, our great-great so-and-so was a Native American. And there may be truth in that, and there may not be truth in that. So sometimes, you know, you may hear something down the road that may not necessarily be the total picture. Like I had some friends that they're originally from Holland, right? From the Netherlands, actually. They were always told that there was some kind of black Irish lineage somewhere back. Well, when they actually did their history, and they went back, they actually found it was Spanish ancestry that they had. And that stands to reason because the Netherlands were under Spain for a while, the Spanish Netherlands, for a period of time. So it's interesting how what they were originally told was not truth at all, and it turned out to be something out. Here's another question. Why does your report differ with others that I have done? And I am not going to say the other name of the other company, but this was posed by an anonymous person. But again, why does your report differ than others that are out there?
Yeah, so one way to think about it is when we take your DNA and the way we make up these regions or these what we call as a reference panel to compare your DNA to from these different populations, part of it's based on research, population research that has already been done and published. Some of it is because of our own unique database. And the other part is actual collaborations or expositions that we've been on, that we've collected DNA samples from these different populations to then compare your DNA to. So depending on the database or the organization and how many samples they have and what regions they've collected DNA from, all contributes to how your results come out in a comparison analysis. So they may, differ a little bit from database to database based on the research and the access to certain data from certain populations.
And I think even on top of that, there's a whole aspect of what the company is really hoping to show you or what people are looking for in a test. There's some companies that are trying to show you thousands of years ago, hundreds of thousands or millions of years ago, where did your family come from or where did your DNA come from? And then, what we're looking at is we're looking at what's called an autosomal DNA test, and it's really going to show you about 500 to 1,000 years ago. And mainly that's because we're interested in family history. We're interested in where your ancestors came from that we're going to be able to tie with historical records. And so we're looking at about 500 to 1,000 years ago. What countries did they really come from? And I think that as far as family history goes, it's a little bit more relevant for us.
Oh, interesting. So these results are actually from 500 to 1,000 years out. So nothing really as of recent. Is that right? Am I understanding this correct?
Yes.
No?
I mean, that's our estimate. And these ethnicity results, they are just an estimate based on current research that we've done. And then, estimating anywhere from 500 to 1,000 years ago, but not crossing that threshold of, 10 or 20,000 years ago where your ancestors were. It's more of a recent discovery for you with this test.
Okay. All right. So now my last question here that was posed to me is from Bill from Washington. What if I do not agree with the results?
Well, we do
too
get
bad,
that.
Too bad, Bill. So sad. Too bad.
Yeah.
Not you, Bill.
I always tell people, if they have any questions about the results or anything like that, get another family member tested.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With more people in your family tested, it provides more clarity on your own genetic past.
Uh-huh. So I guess, basically, sorry, Bill, that's your answer, you're going to have to deal with it. I mean, basically, I'm not trying to sound harsh, but I mean, you can't just pick and choose. So in other words, I wasn't, and to be quite honest with you, Bill, if you're listening, I wasn't too enthralled with maybe some of the results that I got, but it is what it is. And, if you don't like it, maybe you can get, like they said, some more people to take the test and see, see if it differs.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing Anna mentioned was that you receive your DNA from your parents, right? But you receive half from your mom and half from your dad, which means you're missing half of the DNA from your mom and half from your dad. So you're losing half the DNA each generation. So really we encourage, get the oldest generation tested. if you have a grandparent that's still alive, get those tested. Get as many of the older generation as possible before they lose that DNA each generation that goes down. The other part of it is, to be honest, and I'm not saying this is Bill's circumstance at all, but I've talked to quite a few people that as they're doing this, the DNA doesn't match up with family history, and what it turns out is that there's actually the child that came wasn't actually from the marriage. It was from a different relationship. And and back, you know, there was a lot of secrets back even 50 years ago, especially 100 years ago, where they would just all of a sudden the child would become part of this new family. They would just say, this is your mom and dad. Don't worry about anything else. And so I think what it's really doing is it's showing that there's more to our families than we may have ever thought before, and there's we're more connected. And so you'll start to see new cousin matches come up that the DNA says, yes, you are connected. And people are starting to find out things that were kind of dirty family secrets but now are great reunions, bringing families back together.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I've heard some really great things. And so I'm now going to change this over a tad bit, because now we're going to get into one, let's see, one of the reports that I passed on to you folks. And that would be my report that I did, I don't know, probably nearly a year ago or maybe over a year ago. I don't know when it was done. But so I'd like to talk to you about that, and then I'll do a break and then bring in our two callers with questions. And then we'll go to the next mystery report. So how does that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay. So let's – do you have my results there?
I believe so.
Okay. So there's, I think both of them were under my name, but I think the first one was Joan Ardone. I hope you have the right one.
Yeah. And
I think
if you
so,
wanna...
yeah. Do you have them pulled up as well?
No, I don't, but I have a good idea.
okay.
I mean, I can't, I can, yeah, I mean, I can, you know, I've looked at them.
Okay.
Enough.
So tell me what any surprises? What were you kind of expecting?
Okay. Well, I mean, can you tell me, like, from that report, what does it tell? I mean, what is it telling you anything that you, like, if you got this, what would this tell you that as far as where this person's ancestry is? And yes, it did surprise me on some things. So,
well, right out of the gate, you know, we take your DNA, we compare it to the 26 different regions, different population regions that we have, and then we give you an estimate based on how much DNA you share with these individual regions. So out of the gate shows me that you're very European, but not 100%. So, you know, your family 500 to 1,000 years ago were either mixing in these regions or had actual family members from these regions where they were living. And I would be, you know, when you're looking, depending on your own history of the different regions that you've already been able to research back, I mean, you have quite a few regions represented here. You know, one being a very predominant Italian-Greece region. So, you know, I would ask you, do you have Italian ancestry? Do you have Spanish ancestry? Do you have Irish ancestry? Because that's all being represented here in these DNA results.
Right. So my mother's family is from Spain, and my father's family was from Italy with a little bit of Spanish, Spanish ancestry.
Okay.
What I did find kind of interesting, too, is there's this Norwegian component, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
if you look at your – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I said if you look at your regions, you have quite the scattering. So one can speculate, okay, knowing that your family's from Spain and Italy and you have this Norwegian region and even Russia – you know, you've got Russian, Finland area, so up north, Scandinavian, even, you know, some of the Middle Eastern connection, which is kind of typical when you see Italian and Greece. You'll sometimes, that's also companioned with Middle East and the Caucasus. So
and Spain,
you have even
right?
deeper ancestry, yeah, into those
and
regions.
Mm-hmm. So now, as far as the Middle Eastern, where, so this is showing, okay, Middle East, I'm looking, so I just pulled it up right now. So Middle East meaning Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
Jordan, Yemen, United Arab, Lebanon, or Israel. Also found in Iran and Pakistan. Okay,
yes.
So it extends out to Pakistan as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which would have been considered at one point, like, say, 60, 70 years ago, North India, right? Am I right or wrong? When Pakistan was part of India.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so that being said, if I had any Gypsy ancestry from Spain,
mm-hmm.
they originated from India,
mm-hmm.
North India. So that could be where that comes from, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And see, and if that was a story or tradition that you heard in your family, you know, DNA could help provide that evidence.
Well, we have a lot of, yeah, we had a lot of, I remember a lot of hush-hush things, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
for instance,
yeah.
I remember one of my grandmother's brothers being out here, and I was really young, and him saying something about his mother's family being mixed, and my grandmother got really indignant about it. And then one of her mm-hmm. other brothers had mentioned to me that they had heard that their mother had some Moorish ancestry.
Mm.
Okay. So that that would have been from, you know, obviously the Moors from Spain, but, I mean, that could have
mm-hmm.
been from North Africa somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and that there was this kind of thing. So that was kind of interesting. But it's not showing a big percentage there. And then under Caucasus, how do you say this? Caucasus?
Yeah,
is
Caucasus.
That right?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That is also seems to be Middle Eastern. Am I right? Wait, let me
yes.
see. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking Iraq, Iran. There's some overlap between those two, but goes into Turkey as well.
And yeah, so that's...
Mm-hmm.
So that's also, that was also showing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let me see if there was anything else. The Irish thing, you know, I don't know. Could that be the Celtic relationship? I mean, the Celts that were in Spain, where, you know, there was a Celtic Iberian connection. Does this really mean Irish, or it's also found in Wales and Scotland? I'm
mm-hmm.
primarily located in Ireland, Wales, and Scotland. So it could be that somebody was from Wales or Scotland, right?
That's correct.
Okay,
yep.
So it doesn't necessarily
yep.
mean Ireland.
Yeah,
right.
I think one of the things to keep in mind is you're looking at your DNA results. We show kind of regions. It's not exact countries, and that's a large part because countries change throughout history. I mean, you can see borders change back and forth. You can see conquest back and forth. And a part
mm-hmm.
of that was a big part of history was trying to breed out a culture. And so you'll start to see intermarrying and interbreeding within different types of cultures. And so what some things that keep it a little bit more steady was something like an island that would keep the populations a little bit more contained, or large mountain ranges that would keep populations separated from each other. You're going to get even
mm-hmm.
clearer results. Some of the populations were there, France and Germany, that went back and forth and conquered back and forth. You're going to see those mix a little bit more, so those results won't be quite as clear because
mm-hmm.
of the history of the world. And so I think that's one thing to keep in mind as you're looking at this, that there's
mm-hmm.
definitely some world history here when you're looking at your own DNA results.
Well, and so, like, for instance, I was showing 64% Italy and Greece. Now, I've done other reports where it showed my primary is being Iberia, okay? And
mm-hmm.
Italy and Greece didn't show up at all.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of blew me away. But then it says also found in France, Switzerland, Portugal, Spain, Serbia, Hungary, Bulgaria, Austria, Croatia, Bosnia, Romania, Turkey, Slovenia, Algeria, Tunisia, Montenegro, Albania, Macedonia, and Kosovo. So there is a good chance that maybe that 64% is Spain and not Italy and Greece at all, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the heart of that region, majority of the population shows up in, you know, Italy and Greece. But you're right, it has the spread where it's also found in these other regions, but just the mm-hmm. core of the group is found in Italy and Greece. So, mm-hmm. you know, as we get more samples and we're able to do further research, we hope to narrow it down and get even more specific. But based on what we know today and what we're seeing out of the mm-hmm. data, this is what we're showing you.
Now, what does it show on this report? It says range 48 to 80%. What does that
mean? So that's what we do to provide an estimate to you. So we actually take your DNA and we run it through several different times. And at one time you came up as a 48%, and at another time you came up as high as 80%. So we give you an estimate of 64%. You know, comparative to this region. And that's just based on, you know, just being able to give you an estimate so that it's not a hard number, because as we know, you know, even this region itself has limitations, and these results mm-hmm. do as well. And so we want to be very transparent on how we're making these calculations and what we know today.
Okay. Now, one of the questions that was posed to me, I said, was very similar to mine. I did a couple of different DNA tests, as I told you. I've done probably five over the course of years, and including yours. So in a couple of them, it showed an Asian component, and it showed a Native American component. That didn't show up here at all. I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's one of those questions where you just...
It's the same as what happened with your sisters and you, huh?
Yeah. That and
right?
the actual... Yeah, exactly. I mean, the DNA inheritance is completely random. And so, you know, what you're going to get from which ancestor and how it's going to show up can vary.
Okay, now here's a question.
And so the exciting part is, you know, mm-hmm. Check back in a year or so, and, you know, your results may update and change based on other research. Yeah.
Right, and this is what I was going to ask you. Is there a possibility that when I did these other tests that it captured something that you guys are not capturing, or could it be that, now maybe nobody's ever posed this question before, but say, for instance, I took this test on a Monday. Would my results be different if I waited a couple of weeks and then took the same test?
You know, it depends on the actual update that we do. Mm-hmm. But typically from 2 weeks, you know, if you took this test again today, your results mm-hmm. would look mm-hmm. very similar, maybe one or two percentage points off. But it would look very, very similar. But from a year from now, you know, mm-hmm. some things we call, because we don't have enough data on a certain region, like, for example, when we were looking at West Africa, we used to have West Africa as one region. But then uh-huh. with additional samples, we were able to break it up into six different regions.
Oh,
and that's,
amazing.
You know, because of access to data and more samples.
Oh, very, very cool.
Which is exciting.
That is exciting. Okay, hang on there, Anna, real quick for me. And, folks, I just want to let you know, you've tuned into Live from the Bay with Joey, and we are with Ancestry.com. We've got Anna Swain, who's a spokesperson for them, Matthew Deighton with Ancestry.com. So we're really excited. We've answered some really interesting questions. We've just covered part of my DNA report. And we've got a mystery report that I had provided to them a while ago as well, that we're going to get a report on that shortly. So you want to stay tuned and listen to that. But now joining me will be Patricia Ruiz-Steele, who we've done a show with before. She's an author, and she lives in Arizona. So I think I have you on the line, Patricia. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thank you for being so patient. And now I'm going to bring Anna Swain on the line. Anna, meet Patricia.
Hi.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I've been involved with Ancestry for a few years, so this has been very enlightening to me.
Oh, good.
Okay, so here is the way we're going to handle this. Patricia does have a question for you, Anna, so I'll give the floor to Patricia.
Okay. I did have four questions, and I've tried to put them all into one since I found out I just have one. My main question is, is there a DNA data bank available for non-Ancestry subscribers to find connections to their bloodlines through the Ancestry data bank? Is there just one data bank out there? I have a DNA result from Ancestry, but I know someone who has one from somewhere else, and they would love to connect with the Ancestry data bank. Is that possible without having a membership?
You can take, anyone can take the Ancestry DNA test, and whether you're, you know, a member or not. But there isn't one collective database that everyone is joining. And so it's kind of one of those things where, you know, we always make the analogy of fishing in different ponds. And to fish in our pond, you must take our DNA test. But anyone can take it.
Oh, I see. So if someone, say my neighbor took one somewhere else, they can't figure out if they're connected to anyone in my Ancestry data bank or anyone else in the Ancestry family.
Right, they'd have to take another test with us, and then they would be able to compare to everyone in our database, which, you know, 500,000 and growing, so
okay.
a great pond.
I see, I understand. Can I ask another real quick one?
Sure.
What about the Spain DNA databanks versus Americans, since Mundia.com is not used any longer? Is it all in one data bank with Ancestry?
So, it's kind of two different ways to look at it. One being record-based. So, you know, if you want to search records from Spain or Italy or, you know, even Africa, those records are all hosted with the World Ancestry membership. So you can search all kinds of world records. But the Ancestry DNA database isn't specific to country when you're matching. So anybody that's taken the test, it's you get compared to everybody who has taken the test regardless of where they're from.
Oh, excellent. All right. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I think that's all I have to ask. Everything looks great. I'm looking at my results, and I'm still having some questions, but I'm enjoying it very much.
Okay, thank you, Patricia, and hang in there and listen to the rest of the show, and let's see if we can answer some more of your questions. Now joining me, also from Arizona, will be Carson Rutherford. So, Carson, are you there?
Hey, Joey, I'm here.
Okay, and you have got a question for Anna, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I actually have two questions, if there's enough time for that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Cool. Anna, thank you. I have not ever got any of this testing done, and I think this is going to be the defining moment where I will get the testing done after just listening to you guys talk for a bit. So thank you for all the info thus far. I have two questions. One is currently, and this is more out of a technological place with where genetic testing is, what would you consider to be the strongest limitation in the testing right now, and what are some of the ways we can expect to see DNA testing advance in the future?
Great questions. I think, you know, it's one of the strongest limitations is how much data we're getting. So it's a good issue to have or a good limitation to have. You think about the growth of the industry. So come back to 2000 when the year 2000 when DNA testing really started coming into the commercial market. And fast forward to 15 years almost, and we are growing so rapidly that it's just very exciting to be a part of. And with all that growth comes limitations on processing data fast enough. And so, you know, it's really exciting to see our science team and our engineers working through this issue to be able to do that in a you know, cutting the time, some of the process times in half based on, you know, the new technology that they're pioneering to make this process a lot more smoothly for us as users who interact with this kind of experience. And then two, again, kind of go back to where we've been. If you were to take this kind of test even 5 years ago, we would have told you you were European, African, or Asian. And now, like we're going over Joey's result, we are able to drill down even into more specific regions within Europe and, you know, Africa and the Middle East and even Asia. And so now if we go forward, you know, looking ahead 5 years, just imagine the possibilities. The growth is, you know, five times as fast as it was 5 years ago. And the data that we're getting, we're able to process it a lot quicker, though we're, you know, working on that. We'll be able to hopefully provide even more refined regions of the world and where your ancestors were, and maybe even pinpoint it to certain time frames, you know, maybe even more recent than 500 years, or give you a more specific range. So it's very exciting to see going forward.
Great. Okay. And the other question I had is, I'm really intrigued just with studies different people have done looking at themes that occur with kind of native indigenous cultures of people, and then themes that occur with whatever we would consider kind of a general term of post-industrial or industrialized culture. Has anything ever come up in your guys' research that's shown any themes genetically with ancestry of native indigenous cultures versus ancestry of people of an industrialized culture?
Yeah, you know, without giving away too many secrets, because our science team is actually working on a few things right now to look at these, you know, these patterns you're talking about. When you're looking at genetics, a lot of it, you start to see these populations cluster together, and they look genetically related. And then you go look and you look to see what kind of people, where they're from, any kind of history that they have. And you start to cross-compare the genetics versus the history. And sometimes those overlap, and sometimes they don't. And so, you know, I think even in the next couple years, we hope to provide some enlightenment on the data that we've collected and share that. We attend a conference every year, the American Society of Human Genetics. Actually, it's going on right now. And our science team is there, and they present these kinds of things, and that's one of the projects they're working on.
Great. Cool. Thank you for that. And actually, I do have one more question, Joey, if we have enough time for that.
Okay, sure.
Cool. Really curious about the future and the possibility of pathological genetic testing. So there's these new themes of people looking to DNA and genetic testing to possibly identify, you know, their risk for cancer, their risk for diabetes, their risk for all these things. Do you see in this consumer market of genetic testing more and more potential for consumers to be able to find out potential long-term research for how their health will develop based on their genetic past?
You know, ancestry DNA is focusing mostly on doing this kind of testing for ancestral purposes. Though you're right, there is a lot of talk of all these different things you can do in the health industry, but we focus mostly on helping people understand where their family came from and breaking down brick walls on who their ancestors were, and with the matching portion of the results. We really try to help people go beyond written record and fill in the gaps on their own family tree.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Carson. You know, I wanted to touch on something that Carson said. And I'll tell you, Anna, this actually happened to me years ago. I've been in the health care market for years in pharmaceutical and hospital sales, et cetera. And I remember years ago going to interview for a position where they actually sell this type of genetic or whatever testing, where they can you can find out about your health, the possibilities of you acquiring this disease or that disease or what have you. Okay, and they had an open position, so I went to interview for it. It was very creepy in the sense that part of the interview process is they make you actually take one of these tests, and you have to sign this form, a consent to do that. And I thought to myself, my gosh, I never did it. But I thought, you know, that is kind of creepy when you think about it. Because do you really want to know the possibility of all these things? Or do you want to allow time? You know what I'm saying? I mean, do we really want to get that in depth that we find out about the possibility of this or the possibility of, you know, cardiovascular disease or cancer or et cetera, et cetera? So I think there's a fine line there sometimes that we may be crossing. I don't know. That's just my 5 cents and opinion.
Yeah, some people want to know and some people don't.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it is out there, but I think that, you know, it's you have to be very, very careful with it because I think this
this
company was utilizing that as a tool for hiring. You understand? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a possibility that this person would acquire cancer or cardiovascular problems or whatever, they didn't want them on board. So anyway, I think, you know, we have to be a little bit kind of cautious with that. But a great question. So I'm out there and I'm listening to this and I'm listening to all you, you know, all you people talk and I'm listening to you talk, Anna, and I'm listening to all the questions posed and, you know, I'm also hearing Matthew talking and I think, my gosh, you know, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
What's my next step? How do I do it?
Well, it's pretty simple. If you want to take your test with Ancestry DNA, you just can go to Ancestry.com or AncestryDNA.com and order the kit online. Have it shipped right to your house. And in the privacy of your own home, you can provide a saliva sample and send it back to us. And our lab will analyze it. And in 6 to 8 weeks, we'll put your results online on Ancestry.
That's awesome. Now, I will – so now they can go to either Ancestry.com or AncestryDNA.com. Is that right?
Yeah, so AncestryDNA.com takes you straight to the DNA page.
Okay.
If you maybe already have an account on Ancestry, you can go to Ancestry.com and then click on the DNA tab, and that will also get you there.
Okay. And let's let me ask another question. So for somebody that wants to do this test, I know that you folks have made it really affordable. Now, can you give them an idea what it's going to cost them?
Yeah, it currently online you can purchase the test for $99 plus shipping. So for less than $109, you can get a kit for yourself or somebody, you know, like Matt said, test the oldest member of your family. You can start there. Also make great gifts for those hard-to-buy people.
Absolutely. So, again, folks, you've heard all you need to do really is either go Ancestry.com or AncestryDNA.com, and you can order your kit today. You know, I will tell you, when I got the first time I did this, which was a while ago, you know, because you're going to have to spit into this tube, and you may not have enough saliva, and, you know, to use as a sample. So what I recommended and what I found out, now you correct me if I'm wrong, but it's really important to get those bubbles out, and then what you might want to do is seal it up and then maybe put it in the refrigerator. Is that correct? And seal it, and then maybe the next day you can add some more saliva to the tube. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you are having a difficult time filling it up, it's about a teaspoon of saliva, but you're right with the bubbles, and you have them above the line. Just set it in the fridge, and that will help preserve it. As long as you don't screw on the cap where the blue solution is released, try to fill it up before you do that. So, yeah, exactly.
Right. And then if you have a little bit of a problem producing saliva, maybe a little bit of sugar, I understand, on your tongue, just a teeny bit will help in producing some more saliva for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, and rubbing your cheeks a little bit.
Oh.
And, like the old cartoons, smell something that gets you.
Yeah,
gets you
bake some bread.
There you go.
Really? Oh, see, that would have been great for me. Man, I wouldn't have had to put it in the refrigerator. How about that? So I learned something new. So again, great questions that we've had posed. We've covered my my test that I had done a while ago. So thank you for a little bit more in depth answer to that. I do have a question about Native American testing. And simply this, I've noticed, and I was talking last night about this very thing, I've noticed that if you were to compare North American Indians to, say, South American Indians, there is a difference, you know? I mean, even in looks and how they appear, there seems to be a difference. So is it fair to assume that they're all from Asia, that they all came through the Bering Strait, that they went through Alaska? And what I wonder what makes them look so different. Because, I mean, if you look at some Native American tribes in North America, like, say, in Canada, the United States, they look a wee bit different than those tribes that you would find in, say, South America. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reasoning for that, or do you folks know?
Well, you know, that is a really fascinating question because it's on a lot of these population geneticists' minds. You know, that's a question that they want to break through and really, really understand. But currently, there's not a lot of research out there. There's research here and there providing evidence based on certain data sets.
Mm-hmm.
But the answer is not there, at least with enough data for, you know, a concrete answer or a concrete, hey, this is how this population actually migrated. I mean, we think in some instances how certain populations came over and migrated, and we're trying to provide evidence and more research behind that, whether it's us or even the industry in general, but there isn't quite a stamp of we figured it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
all right. Well,
that
answers that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Time and technology, probably.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I kind of wonder because, you know, what I've heard or what I understood was that Native Americans originally came from, like, say, Siberia. Is that?
Yeah, certain Asian populations.
Uh-huh. And
yeah,
then
if you look.
If you look at their features and you look at their hair texture, you know, all that kind of stuff, you can see that Asian, you can see that connection, you can see the similarity. Maybe the differences in skin color, they may be darker. That could have a lot to do with the climate, where they went to, blah, 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 and over the years that changing. But then if you look at some, you know, Native American tribes or Native tribes in South America, Latin America, that may not have straight hair, maybe they have more kinky hair, whatever, could that be that, or curly hair, could that be because there was a mix of another type of culture in their lineage somewhere, you know?
Yeah,
we don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's possible, right? So that could be another answer to that. Okay, so now here we go. We had a mystery, not so much a mystery for you folks, but a mystery sample that was sent over to you. So what can you tell me a little bit about that one that was sent over to you? Do you have that up or?
Yes, I've got it up. Oh. Well, I can tell you that they share DNA with you.
Okay.
Quite a bit of DNA, in fact.
Okay.
So hopefully that wasn't a surprise.
No.
Is it okay if I announce how much DNA you share?
Sure.
Okay, so if I were just to look at this genetically, I would see that this person who submitted a sample was either your parent or your child.
That's correct. So that was actually my mother.
Ah, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, you share some of the ethnicity portion of your results as well, but
mm-hmm.
there's some clear differences that she has that she didn't pass on to you.
Which
so going
is?
Back to the
mm-hmm.
North African.
Right. So what is that North African really? Is that sub-Saharan African?
That would be Morocco, mostly Morocco, but also it kind of extends into Algeria and Egypt.
Okay.
And even some other smaller countries, but for the most part, Morocco, Algeria.
So now, are they black or are they white? Or do we
know?
Know?
It could, yeah. I mean, modern-day Moroccans have more of an olive-colored skin and darker hair, darker features. So they could have been. Or maybe, yeah, I mean, it's really hard to exactly say, but what we can say is 3% of her DNA is similar to those who currently live in that area today.
And it's interesting because I had her do one other test a while ago, and she was showing with a percentage of sub-Saharan African,
mm-hmm.
which would be, you know. So, I mean, this goes back to that thing with the Moorish, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because doesn't she show, what else does she show that that is different?
She has just a little less of Ireland than you do, which probably means that you got more from your dad's side of the family.
Okay.
And she has a little bit more Scandinavian, which possibly means she just didn't pass down all of it to you. But where a strong thing is, she has kind of a split, you know, 38% the Spanish influence and then 32% Italy, Greece. So, you know, just high representations from both of those. But the
mm-hmm.
Great Britain is what stands out to me as far as you have, or she has 10% Great Britain, and you have less than 1%. So, you know, almost no trace of Great Britain that was passed down to you from her, as well as the African.
So Great Britain as in pip-pip cheerio and all that stuff? Like, are we talking Oh, really? So we're talking like straight from England?
England, yep. I mean, that's the core of the region is in England, but it does branch out into Scotland, a little bit of Ireland, France, and Germany.
Oh, how funny. Yeah, it's interesting because her grandfather, her paternal grandfather, who was from Spain, he was about 6'2", with blonde hair, blue eyes, and really fair. Now, if you look mm-hmm. at him, he looked, I would say he looked Northern European. But, you know, his mm-hmm. family was from Spain as well. So, but maybe perhaps 500 years ago or whatever,
mm-hmm.
they might have been from Norway or maybe... or that area, or maybe, again, when Spain had control in the Netherlands,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe it was from that area, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it the Norwegian thing? I mean, is it coming from, I didn't take a close look, but where on her background, where is that coming from? Is that coming from Sweden or Norway or...
Yeah, it's kind of both. It's Sweden, Norway, Denmark. A lot of Viking as also falls into this range.
Okay.
And if you click on the region itself, you can see kind of the history of of where else we have found that DNA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we try to provide some historical context, like we're doing
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
and. The spread of Scandinavian DNA, was it the Vikings? Was it just modern or more recent immigration? you know, it's up for speculation.
Yeah, interesting. Now, does she also, is it also showing, does she have the, does she as well have the Middle Eastern?
Very, just a small trace, so less than 1%. So this could mean that she does have, in fact, ancestry from those regions or just noise from surrounding regions. With just less than 1% as a trace region, we kind of just report that for showing the evidence, you know, what we have found, but it could develop or drop off when we do further updates.
Yeah, and maybe it will update more because she's had it done before where it was showing a high percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it's interesting. It picked up the North African, it picked up the African, but it didn't pick up the Middle Eastern on her. So this has been a really, really great show, a fascinating show. Thank you again for joining me. We're going to wrap it up here unless there's anything else you want to say. I want to tell people that, again, you can order these kits, Ancestry.com. You want to make sure you do that. You want to make sure you get it for friends and loved ones. And, you know, the holidays are coming up, and this would be an interesting Christmas gift or Hanukkah gift or whatever you celebrate during this holiday season coming up, Kwanzaa or whenever that is. I want to make sure we cover everybody. But, again, this would be a wonderful, wonderful gift to give someone or to order for yourself. Again, Ancestry.com or AncestryDNA.com. Anna, do you have any other closing comments that you'd like to make? Or
Just thank you for letting us be on the show and sharing this with you. I mean, we just talked about one part of the DNA results, so I encourage you, Joey, to go explore your DNA matches to see what some of the stories you can pull out of those people that you do match with. I see that you and your mom both have a second cousin that you've matched with. I've had great success in matching with others who have pictures or stories of my ancestors that I didn't get. My family didn't inherit those. And so matching helps us make that connection and fill in the gaps on you know, who were these people that came before us and what did they look like?
Right. And you know what's interesting is that second cousin, I think, is the same one that we both have, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I tried to reach out to that person, never heard anything back. And I noticed that they haven't been on there since April, I believe, my understanding. But I wanted to find out who they are because it's obviously a close relative. But for whatever reason, they're not communicating back.
Don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up. Anyway, Anna, thank you so much for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey. Again, folks, you want to make sure you go to Ancestry.com or AncestryDNA.com. And until the next time, this is Joey saying take care.
Thank you for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey.